Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know. Cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything. He'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Well, here we are again, the second weekend in February, and we are going to continue at Don't Give Up Radio to explore and discuss relationships and all the various complexities that it holds. And I am your host, Jackie Wayans, really glad to be with you here once again. And we've got a very special show for you tonight. Now, last week, we heard from husband and wife who's talking about, you know, the tough times of relationships and finding the diamond in each other. And we are going to actually hear some more music from Antonio Neal during this episode. But tonight, we will hear from men. We will hear from men who have learned that old-fashioned love is actually the best thing. But first, I want you to listen to this and think back.
God loves every boy and girl, everywhere on the great big world, every color and every size. Some are silly and some are wise, but God loves everyone the same. He knows your giggle and knows your name.
Okay, so you're probably like, Jackie, where are you going with this? Well, do you remember those good times when, you know, boys and girls just saw the best in each other and a kiss on the cheek was just the cutest thing? And then we grow up and it all becomes so very complicated. The movie Old Fashioned in theaters this weekend brings us back to the sweeter possibilities of love. And tonight we have with us two of the actors, the lead actor and the supporting actor from the movie. And I want to start off with Rick tonight. And I hope I get this right. Rick Swartzwelder is an actor.
You got it. That was perfect.
Thank you. You're an actor. You know, this is your debut film in terms of acting, but you have an extensive portfolio when it comes to being writer, producer, director. Yes. And so I'm really thankful that we were able to get you on the show today, and I look forward to hearing what you have to share with us.
I'm honored to be here, and I guess I really believe in the mission of what you're doing with your program, and it's wonderful. So I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. The show, as people have listened to me over the years, I started it out of this place of brokenness. And like the characters in the movie, you can, you know, find wholeness again and you can move forward in your life. And
there's
times that you get stuck and you don't realize that you can move on. And I'm just cheering on the movie, but I don't want to give anything away yet.
Right. Let's start
with you. As I mentioned, you are an award-winning director and filmmaking and all of that. How did you get your start? And when I say that, I don't just mean your big break. I'm talking about your start, your interest in just creating this type of work.
Well, you know, it all started when I was a kid, and I was at my grandmother's house, and my grandfather had passed away, and I found in her closet this old 8mm movie camera and a home editing system and all of this stuff back, you know, this is way before, like, every kid that's in first grade has a, you know, editing on his computer now or her computer.
Right.
And so So back then when it was this old movie camera, and I asked my grandma if I could have it, and she let me have it. And I was a child of divorce, you know, divorced parents, and a lot of energy and angst goes along with that. And the ability to start telling stories and to take film and use it to sort of craft narratives, and you know, you create your own happy endings when you don't have a happy ending in your own life necessarily, that really was attractive to me. And so I just started doing it. Just, it was very natural.
You know, that is one of the beauties of brokenness, is that can come out of it. And so here you are, right, as a young child, and you almost intuitively realize that, and you start this healing process for yourself. And I know you have a passion regarding filmmaking and sharing that with others, and I hope to have you back on the show at some other point so that we can get into that and talk more about that. But talk to me more about your mom and your grandmother and their wisdom. Now, did you grow up in a household of faith that, you know, believed in God or Jesus?
Well, you know, I did. I definitely, my grandmother was a devout woman, and my mom had a faith. But growing up where I did in Ohio, that, you know, there was a sort of religion was kind of cultural more than it was personal.
Mm.
And so it sort of flavored the cultural environment. But it wasn't until I was in college that I really made a relationship with God and Christ personal. And that all happened because a girl I was dating bought me a Bible. I made the mistake of reading it, and I opened it, and when I started to read the stories of Jesus, I couldn't make fun of that, and I liked to make fun of Christians back then, and I thought it was all hypocrisy, and the church didn't practice what it preached, and all of that stuff. It's so easy to point out the shortcomings,
mm-hmm.
but when I read the story of Jesus, and I just let it have its own power and weight, it changed me, and specifically the text where Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I thought of the creator of the universe loving not just everybody but me so powerfully that he would forgive me. And, you know, in the midst of him being crucified, that I couldn't make fun of that.
That's very interesting, because you're dating this young lady, and she hands you a Bible. So that's a whole story right there. And
I'm
going to come back to that, but I want to regress a little bit. So you grew up in this town, and you say they had these kind of, you know, values, but it wasn't so much that it was personal. It was just kind of cultural. And you go off to college. And when you go off to college, who do you become? You know, we like to create our own identities at that moment in time. So what was the person you were, who were you carving out for yourself?
Well, I think it was more of like, it was more like high school and early college where I was just a party guy. You know, it's so funny because you see this play out over and over and over again. And it's still happening today. But my moral compass was created by, you know, MTV, pop culture, music videos, and I lived that out. And you still see this happening today, and it's astonishing to me because it's such a dead-end street. It will not fulfill the longings of your heart. It will not, you know, meet the deepest desires of your soul. And it's just fascinating to see kids keep repeating, you know, the same mistakes we make, and you try to help encourage them to not, but it's a challenge.
Yeah. And, you know, anyone who's listening right now who's been past the college phase, you know, we understand what you mean when you talk about being a part of a fraternity or being promiscuous or, you know, the drink, all things, the experimental phase. And it was to a lesser degree or to a greater degree, we can relate and we understand what that is. And even the influences that you mentioned. I also studied communications in college, drama and dance, acting, and I knew I wanted to pursue that field. While I would call myself moderate, I was still very focused on the performance and the look and the hair and, you know, all those things.
Sure, right.
Don't really matter. So now you're in this relationship with this young lady who probably shouldn't have been in a relationship with you, but God,
you are correct. And I don't know what it is about girls, you know, good Christian girls with this, you know, sort of this idea that they can, you know, date and you know, win over the bad boy. It's sort of irresistible.
But in this case, it was your time, and God used her
that's true. But it doesn't always work out that way. And I do think the whole missionary dating thing, you know, it's a cautionary tale. It's a risky endeavor. But in my particular case, it actually did work out, yes, thankfully.
So now, what did the transformation look for like for you? Because the character Clay, you know, when I saw the trailer, I was smitten right away. I said, "That's me. That guy right there is me." Of course, I didn't know about the fraternity part yet, but the Clay that was just believing in courtship as opposed to dating, and almost, you know, I do relate also to the little pieces that where he might have been hiding in some regards. But
he definitely is. I mean, Clay is a character that's hiding for sure.
Yes. And so how do you go from being a frat boy being someone who's walking out this Christian faith now?
Well, you know, it's funny, because, you know, the film Old Fashioned and then my own personal spiritual journey, they sort of parallel in this one particular point that for me, you know, the pendulum for me swung way the other way. You know, I went from being the wild party guy to this guy that was so conservative that he was actually isolating himself from other people. Which is tricky, because God calls us to community. He does not call us to isolation. And so, like many people, where the pendulum swings from one extreme to the other, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes encourages us to avoid extremes. But, you know, you find your way back to the balanced middle, you know, where you can fully honor God, but you have to engage with life and what's going on around you. So for me, it was learning how to find my way back to the middle.
So talk about that process, because I think that's the difficult point for men, and I also think that it's the difficult point for women when they're in relationship to really begin to understand. And there is a big difference between dating and courting, and it's a big mental shift. So how did you walk through that?
Well, for me, it was like going from the point of like, Paul so encourages strongly the idea of singleness in Scripture that I sort of just really latched on to that. But then as you sort of live and breathe and sort of grow in the faith, you know, some people are called to singleness, but clearly not everybody. And for me, like learning the balance, it came from isolation back to this point of, look, dating or courtship or however you define it. The issue is that you want to, it's about honoring the other person. It's about, it's a mutual respect between men and women both. For chivalry to work, both men and women have to collectively be involved in the process. And it's, you know, whether a man or a woman, it's not about objectifying the other person. They are not primarily there for your pleasure. And it's this whole idea of approaching it with a measure of intentionality, being intentional, and that realizing that love is something sacred, and it's a gift from God, and we shouldn't be playing games with each other. And so, again, whether you define it as dating or courtship, for me, it's about finding that center of mutual respect.
That is exactly right. I love it. I'm so excited for this movie. I can't tell you. I'm just waiting for the hours to clock down. And I know you're running from interview to interview, and I have you for such a limited time. What are you seeing from audiences? What are they connecting to as they sit and watch this film?
Oh, sure. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you know, we're just trying to it's a movie, right? I love a good sermon or a good homily as much as anybody, but I go to church for that. Go to the movies to hear a story and to be entertained. And so, you know, the best part for me is sitting in there with an audience is I hear the laughter, I hear the sniffling and the tears. But beyond all of that, just the entertainment value is what I'm seeing happen, the connecting point, and this goes male, female, whether you grow up in the church or you're not in the church, you believe in God or you don't, sort of the universal connector is if you go into Old Fashioned and you sort of have an open wound from a previous romantic relationship, and maybe you've been hurt by someone, or you actually hurt someone else, and you kind of feel disqualified from love because of that. There's some wound, there's something broken in you, something that hasn't healed over. I'm seeing this happen. People are coming out of our film with a measure of healing and wholeness. And as a filmmaker, I can't hope for anything better than that. So I'm very encouraged. It's been wonderful to watch the film with audiences.
I am encouraged to hear that. Audience are ready for things that aren't preachy, but are real life. And
that's right. Yep.
Struck me as being exactly that. And you're touching on points without even knowing it that our guest from last week shared with us, just as they're seeing, as they go across this country and speaking to people who have had broken relationships and to have a moment of healing. And what I'm thankful for is that God never gave up on you, and he brought you to a place where you can have that relationship with him, and he never gave up on me. And I do the show because I want people to understand he's no respecter of persons, and if he didn't give
That's
up
right.
on us, he's not going
Amen.
To give up on
us. Amen. As long as we're breathing, we know God's not done with us yet.
Amen. Amen to that.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to be, we're going to have LaJean up in a few moments. I'm going to play a song.
Tell LaJean, I said, hey, he is so good in the movie. He is
really?
So good in our film.
I think
he
everyone needs a character or a friend like LaJean. LaJean, are you there?
I am here. Good evening.
Hey LaJean.
What's going on, Rick?
What's up, brother?
Oh, man, feeling good, man. Feeling real good.
Here we go tomorrow night, man, Valley View, Cleveland, Ohio.
The countdown is on, and I will be there.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Wonderful. Awesome. I'm excited for you guys, and when we come back, we will hear from LaJean and what he has to say about all of it.
I was a long way from home. Said I was never going back. My heart was a mountain of stone. Yeah, how did I get this far off track? Yeah.
When did God's plan for romance and marriage become old-fashioned? Take a reformed frat boy and a free-spirited girl attempting the impossible in modern-day America. An old-fashioned courtship and a God-honoring relationship.
Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is old-fashioned. Old-fashioned. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters this Friday. Find a theater near you at oldfashionedmovie.com.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
All right, we are back, and I am ultra excited because I saw this movie trailer all the way at the beginning of fall, and I just have a habit of watching trailers but not actually going to the movie theaters. But then I saw this trailer, and I couldn't wait for Valentine's Day to come. And let me tell you, I'm so anti-Valentine's Day. The fact that I'm so excited about this movie, everything about what I believe it's trying to say. Jean, let me just read a few points from your bio. You know, you began acting in high school, and then you launched your career, including film, commercial, theater roles, and you're from the hometown of Cleveland, Ohio. And we have credits that we may know of. You were in Homemakers, Falling Backwards, Tomorrow You're Gone. And now you're playing the role of David in Old Fashioned, and you're that friend, you know, that friend that you play ball with, and while in the middle of playing ball, you're like giving some words of wisdom and saying, man, get your act together. So
exactly right,
I'm
exactly.
Really glad that you're able to join us tonight. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I truly, truly, truly appreciate you having me. It's such an honor. Thank you so much.
Oh, no. I think it was really great for actually both of you to say yes to being on my show. In many ways, it's a new show, though it's been around for about 5 years now and it's growing, but I was just overwhelmed. But God knew my heart. He knew I absolutely passionately wanted to have an opportunity to tell my listeners about this movie and what you're doing. And so I'm glad the remainder of the time we get to talk a little bit more about, you know, some of the things that we started off the show with. Now, you know, Rick mentioned having to unlearn the lies about love and romance that he grew up with, you know, that he got from the music industry or the, you know, the commercials or what have you. And I just wanted to know, you know, can you relate to that at all? Is that a part of your own story in any way?
You know what, in many ways, I believe it's a part of everyone's story. It's just coming to the point of realizing that that part is there, you know. I definitely had my trials and tribulations in regards to love and one understanding, or at least what I thought was an understanding as far as what's the best approach on love in your life. And then, you know, you have to take a look within yourself. And you may hear me say this multiple times tonight, but find out what you truly want and being true to yourself in the process. And going on that path of finding yourself and finding what really brings out the best of you in regards to the kind of love that you want in your life through his vision, through God's vision, is that that's priority and that's paramount. And I've definitely had my my correlations when it comes down to the approach from the film and my personal life. And it's so amazing that just to have the opportunity to see a film or to be a part of a film in this matter that you can so strongly relate when it comes down to the kind of love I thought was what I wanted in my life or what I wanted from someone, and then coming to the understanding of, no, what now, this is how it should be, and this is what fits best for me.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that because, of course, you know, you hear what my reaction was when I saw the trailer, and you think, this is just me. I'm the only one in the universe who gets this guy. Right?
Right.
And then, you know, you realize, wait a minute, this is a bigger story and other people feel this way too. And that's a good thing because I think we feel so ostracized in society that everything's about lust and how you look and the one night stand and, you know, all those things that
right.
are not what you're searching for. And then to have a voice that says, hey, wait a minute, we actually do believe that real love exists and chivalry is head, and you can have the warm fuzzies and all the romance that goes along with that without it being deploring in any way. So I'm really happy to hear you say that. I want to step back a little bit, get a sense of what your life was like growing up in Cleveland. Did you grow up in a family of faith? Did you come to it later on in life?
Oh, definitely. My mom was very adamant in regards to being involved in the church, and we were there every Sunday. And it's an upbringing that, as I sit here at 31 years old and look back, I'm so appreciative that you know, my family had the approach that they did in regards to God in our lives, and in regards to the importance of it, and not being afraid to express, not just within the home, but outside the home, how important God in your life is. And it's truly, truly has made me the man I am today, and it's something that I will always be forever grateful for. And my goodness, I don't know where I'd be otherwise had the approach not been taken at such an early stage in my life. And it's just a wonderful blessing.
Well, let's talk about that, because, you know, there is that period of time that we all have, or at least most of us have in some way or another. And going back to this concept of living in a society that really transfers untruths or lies or a certain belief system into us, and then we actually have to overcome that later on. So talk to me about your period of lies. You know, what did that look like? If I met you during that period of time, who would I have seen? Who would I have met? What did it look like?
You would have seen and met somebody who wasn't me. And it doesn't get any simpler than that. It was a somebody who was trying to portray an individual that he thought he wanted to be. What made it even worse, that person didn't even like himself at that time, which actually, you know, as I sit here and think about it, it makes no sense. It's like I was conscious that I was not a fan of me, you
wow.
know?
Wow.
Yeah, but the wonderful... The blessing part about it is, you know, is being able to come out of that and then having that one day where you say, you know what, no, this isn't where it's at. I can't do this because I don't like me, you know. And that could be a hard thing for people to come to the conclusion on, you know. And,
yeah, I mean, that's a powerful statement to be able to say that here you are, you want fans and adulation, but you're not even a fan of yourself. That's pretty powerful. That is. So... How did your process, what did you do? I mean, did you come back to the Lord and say, make me over? Did you just decide to return to grassroots? I mean, what did that process look like for you?
The latter, just returning to grassroots. That was basically, and of course, God is first and foremost in everything that I do. But it was stopping and saying to myself, okay, you don't like who you are. You don't like that guy in the mirror. So what do we have to do to change this mindset, to change this perception? Let's go back to where we were. Let's go back to what we did like. Let's go back to that person who, you know, you wanted to present yourself to other people and to the crowd. And more importantly, my children. when seeing my children's faces and, you know, one thing that children don't do, they tell it to you and bring it to you just the way it is. And I could tell within my children's reactions towards me that I wasn't the best me. And if I can't be the best me, that means I can't be the best for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So grassroots, taking it back to the beginning, yeah.
So, you know, I'm asked Rick about the whole concept of courtship versus dating, and the movie's very strong on a courtship theme. And I just want to kind of what it means to me, the difference for me, and then you can kind of elaborate and tell me about, you know, whether you even – had a differentiation in your mind when you were, you know, pursuing relationships. I only knew about dating until probably a little bit before I turned 40. The concept of courtship came to my mind. I'd already been married and had children, gotten divorced. And so, you know, dating is basically what society does. You know, it's a kind of I see you, there's chemistry, let's, you know, go out and see if this works. And you're showing your best self. You're showing, you know, the pretty you, the not a temperamental you, the gracious you. It's not the you that you'd be living with for the rest of your life. And courtship kind of says, you know what, I'm willing to look at this not as a spending time with you kind of thing, but an investing time with you, because I think this could lead to a relationship that is long-term, that is going towards marriage, and let's treat it with that type of seriousness. So it's not casual. You know that it's, you're invested and you're going somewhere. So I related to Clay because that's what I saw in him first. I saw that person who thought courtship is valuable and dating is not. And then I also saw the side that says, so let's hide in our house for the next 20 years and nobody actually knows which, you know, the movie addresses. So we don't have to talk about that right now. But for you, you know, did you have a concept of courting versus dating? And, you know, did you make a differentiation at all?
And that's a great question. Is in regards to courting versus dating, I was taught in the household at home at a very early age, you know, to learn yourself, learn who you want to be in a relationship first. And in doing so, it's going to make it easier. It's going to make it better. It's going to make it more comfortable for you to come in the middle with that person who you're in a relationship with. So within that process, the courting part of it all, I highly believe in. I highly, highly believe in, because it gives you that opportunity to step outside of that society shell, if you will, of, oh, it doesn't have to be the way that it's perceived on TV and in the Hollywood kind of realm and everything. That there is a better way to do this. There is a way that we can do this that's safe, that's, you know, that's genuine, and that's through God's eyes. And that's why I so love Clay's approach in this film, because it gives people that, it's almost like a reminder, hey, you know we can do this, right? You know we can do it this way. It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to hurt the way that you did if you take your time and learn the self and learn the person that's in front of you.
And that's an important point. It's a whole coming back to valuing yourself and valuing women as well. And, you know, with Clay's character, I love every moment that he's trying to stand on his beliefs. All of his friends are looking at him like, what planet have you dropped from? Look, you know, and I've gotten that myself sometimes as well. I've shared on the show often. You know, I've been single and celibate for the past 14 years, but I believe that that's what God has called me to, and when he makes it different, he will show me that too, right? And
exactly.
So it's that dedication to live that way, you know?
Correct. I understand.
So now when you say, you know, that a man needs to look at himself for himself and figure out what it means for him, give a word of advice to maybe a young brother in his late 20s, early 30s, who realizes that, you know, the way he's been doing things and actually doesn't even really like himself right now, the way he treats females, the way he's in relationship, what would you say to him to help him, you know, realize he needs to commit to doing things a better way?
How could you possibly respect her if the respect for yourself is nowhere to be found? So let's start there first, young man. Let's start there first by understanding and getting a true understanding, a true intrinsic and extrinsic understanding of who you really are. That way you're not bringing some character, someone stepping outside of yourself to the table. You're bringing the true, genuine you, allowing that person to accept or not accept the true, genuine you. And that's okay at the end of the day if it's not accepted, because you came clean. You came as you are, as you truly are, and as who you truly believe that you are. So that would definitely be my first and foremost approach for anybody in that matter. It sounds very repetitive, but understand the self. And it's just all about being, if I can't be great for me, there's no way in the world I can be great for you.
I think that's powerful in itself. And I will add to that, as I do on the show every week, Romans 10 and 9. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. And why do I bring that up? Because really the power to live the life that we're talking about doesn't just come from self-will. It doesn't just come from, you know, a 30-day, let's just do it this way and then I'll be fine after that. It's a process. You know, it's a process. Please, I'm not trying to scare anyone off, though. That 14 years is mine. It doesn't belong to me. That's what you have to look forward to. But what I am saying is that, you know, God has laid out certain promises. And the first promise that you need to come into relationship with him. And when you do that, he's able to empower you to live the life that he asked you to live in his word. It wouldn't be fair of him to ask us to do certain things and not give us the power to do it. So he gives us the power to do it, but first we have to come to him and yield that over. I also wanted to ask you, you know, I've heard it said that, you know, the film has a, you know, very strong courtship line, as we've been talking about, but it also shows a moment of stumbling. And, you know, our approach to the issue is that it's very hard, right? It's a hard walk. We're not trying to make it seem like it's easy. And the movie quote is, how do we keep on the journey towards being like Christ in the process of being human, in the process of stumbling? So talk to us a little bit about the hard part, because I think sometimes, you know, when people are either considering making a change or trying to, but they find it just physically or mentally or emotionally draining or overwhelming, it's very easy to just quickly give up. And I constantly hear from my friends who are guys that it's different for guys than it is for girls. Somehow, you know, women are able to have more discipline than guys can have. So, you know, talk to me about the hard part.
It's definitely hard, because it's like fighting who I know I really want to be and yet still fighting the desires. Meanwhile, those that surround you don't think like you do. Yet, so that doesn't mean, okay, I don't want them to be my friends anymore. That doesn't mean that I don't want to hang around them anymore and I don't want them in my life. But we see things differently. And being in their presence, that's where that desire part comes in, because their mindset and their approach on certain things isn't that of mine, so it creates that struggle. And once again, going back to what I just said, meanwhile, there is that person who you know you want to be, you know you truly desire to be. And it's I've definitely faced that struggle. And as far as it being harder for men and women and everything, that can go many ways. Wow, I mean, I can take this so many ways, but it's like, it's just one of those things that as long as you truly believe in the purpose and his purpose for you, if you find the true purpose that he has, that God has put out for you, it makes that struggle, it makes that difficult part of it all more easy to deal with. Because sometimes people go into this as far as deciphering and balancing who, you know, the desire part and who they truly want to be, yet still not even understanding what it is that they want to be. And that's creating more confusion within their approach.
Shortcuts are always a sign of, you know, you're not going to go through the process and you're not going to mature. So when you take the shortcut, you're going to find yourself lacking. You're not going to have the stamina emotionally, mentally, or spiritually to deal with the other hard things that happen, even when you're a couple, when you're in a relationship. There's still challenges if you haven't learned how to deal with yourself, as you've already said so well. Then you're not going to be able to deal with yourself when you have another human being who has their own issues that they're bringing to the table. Relationships are hard. I'm about to play a song by Antonio Neal, who was my guest last week. He has a great album called Welcome Home, and this is actually half of a song called it's called The Blood, but I'm actually just playing the part that is called Only Jesus, because it talks about how only God can mend a broken life and only God can make a wrong man right. And I'm listening to everything that you said so far, and that's exactly what has happened to you. That's exactly what happened to Rick. It's the moment that you yield to God and say, listen, you're first. So what you tell me to do, whether it's hard or not, I'm going to do it. And that's what makes the difference.
Only Jesus can heal a broken life. Only Jesus can make you whole. Only Jesus can make a wrong man right. Only Jesus can.
When did God's plan for romance and marriage become old-fashioned? Take a reformed frat boy and a free-spirited girl attempting the impossible in modern-day America. An old-fashioned courtship and a God-honoring relationship.
Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is old-fashioned. Old-fashioned. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters this Friday. Find a theater near you at oldfashionedmovie.com.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans.
Inspiration through word and song for you.
And you know, I just have to say that I think the movie probably is perfectly fine for kids under 13, but there's a caveat to that. The only reason why I say that is because, you know, sometimes I see animations that are really not appropriate for kids, but because it's an animation, you know, kids flock to it. So, you know, you really, parents, you do have to gauge that. But I think go for yourself first. This is something that has really higher theory, higher emotions, higher mentality of what relations are, relationships are, and how they get played out in real life. And, you know, just listening to that song, I just wanted to share a little tip for those of you who are listening, whether you're male or you're female, is that when those moments come along and it's really difficult and you feel like, gosh, I've been single forever, or gosh, when will this person ever show up? You know, just force yourself, because sometimes you just don't feel like it, but really call on the name of Jesus. You know, call on him out loud. Praise him, sing to him, all those wonderful things. Get yourself involved with giving to others and investing in other people's lives and making a difference in other ways. And I can tell you that those things really do work. So there's many things that you can do, but the more you isolate yourself, the more that you just stay in bed and watch whatever you want and listen to whatever you want, then slowly but surely it will actually get harder and more difficult, and then old patterns just pick right back up again, and you say, oh, it was too hard and God took too long to answer my prayer. So, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. I don't know if you found that to be true as well.
Definitely. That makes perfect sense. You have to put yourself out there in a position to, again, learn what it is that is best for the self. And that can't happen in closed doors. That can't happen, you know, with your phone turned off. It can't happen with your ears closed and your eyes closed. You have to get out there and give yourself that opportunity to understand the kind of person that you are, that to understand the kind of love that you want for yourself. So that makes perfect sense.
So now let's shift a little bit. Let's come into, you know, the movie and this very exciting time, I'm sure, for the cast and bringing it to fruition. I think most people don't really understand the years that it takes for this moment to actually happen. And, I just want to say also, I'm in the New York City area, and I'm going to be going to the Ewok Theater, Ewok 13, which is right on West 42nd Street. The movie is playing there. Let's support it this weekend, because, as you know, the first weekend really tells the box office. It really tells the movie venues whether or not they're going to keep it running and keep it going. And I think this should be in theaters for months. DVD. And so, you know, that's where I'm going to go. If you're not in the New York City area, all you have to do is actually go to oldfashionedmovie.com and look up your city, and you will find your location where it's playing. Definitely, you know, go out and support. I wanted to talk to you, you know, you talked about not being in a bubble and the fact that you have to live your life. So I'm sure you have friends that, you know, are believers, not believers, different faiths. How did you share the movie with them? How did you talk to them about the movie?
Give it a shot for whatever it brings out of you. And I won't approach you as, hey, listen, I won't force it in your face. I won't, you know, shove it down your throat or anything like that. See it first and foremost to support me. and then see it for, you know, that you can get anything out of anything. I often tell that to my children. And I don't care what it is, as far as books, shows, a box of cereal. It doesn't matter. You can get anything out of anything. Knowing for a fact, with the experience of being in the film, I know there's so much to gain from this film for a believer, non-believer, in between, or you name it. So that was my approach for those friends that I do have that may be on the other side of my thought and mindset. Go and give it a chance for it to bring out whatever it is that is due to come out of you.
So now, in the early screenings of the movie, what are some of the things that you see or saw hitting home with the audience?
I think the word that pops out the most is the genuineness of the film. You know, the genuineness of the setting, the genuineness of the people, and how they can, how they'll be so easily to relate to the people, to the situation, to the story.
Right.
You know, so oftentimes we will see a film, and right away you know it's completely out of the realm of your life and everything else. But the moment from the word go, old fashioned is, hey, I can relate to that. Hey, I've been there before. Hey, I got a friend like that. You know, and so that's what makes it so awesome.
Wow. Yeah, people can relate to brokenness. People can relate to regret. We all have regrets. You know, we all wish we did things differently at some point in time and could go back and change it. But the movie has a redemptive nature, redemptive quality to it. And so you walk away feeling invigorated and hopeful. And there is another movie coming out this weekend. I'm not going to say what it is, but most people know there's another so-called Valentine's movie coming out. And it's the complete opposite, you know? It's the complete opposite of what this is. And I can imagine, you know, coming out of one movie feeling just maybe overheated and want to, you know, rush to the nearest hotel or something, and then coming out of a movie and feeling hopeful and feeling peaceful and a joy that says real love actually does exist and I can have this for myself and I don't have to settle for something cheap that's going to make me feel, you know, dirty or less than or, you know what I'm saying. You know, so I think, you know, it's wonderful to have the option out there. And there was a time when that wouldn't have been the case. So I think movies have come a long way. Christian movies, faith-based movies have absolutely come a long way. What advice would you give to a young person who wants to be, you know, like I said, I went to a communications, did that. I wanted to be in the arts, but I didn't realize yet the power of what I really wanted to do. So, you know, today it's a lot easier for someone who's a Christian to say, I want to be in the arts industry. It's still challenging. So what would you say to help prepare them?
Well, like I said earlier, first and foremost, put God first in anything and everything you do. If there's an audition room and you let him walk into the room first, you're going to be just fine. And you take that approach and that mentality with everything you do. And again, being true to yourself, stay true to who you are, stay true to the person that had that first original mindset. You know what? I want to be in this business. I want to be in this industry, and bring that mindset, bring that internal fire and desire, from start to finish, from start in between and left and right up and down to finish. And as long as you do that, as long as you believe and you truly have a desire for what you know you can do and the heights that you know you can reach, you won't fail. I think I'll take this moment to use one of my little sayings that I always tell my children, the two C's, the letter C's. As long as you have the two C's, you can't lose. And that's a choice and a chance. And we wake up every day, and God gives us a choice and a chance. As long as you know you have the two C's, you're a winner. You can't lose.
You've got great one-liners. you had some real nuggets in here today. I love that, a choice and a chance. Because sometimes we put everything on God. And the reality is we have the power to make choices every day, and he's the one who gives us the opportunity. And so, you know, we always say when opportunity and preparedness meet each other, that's where you have success. Thank you so much for your time tonight and sharing. Do me a favor and tell people where the movie link is and you know, just how they can find it and find out more about you.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they can go to www.oldfashionedmovie.com, and you can search the theaters link on there and just find within your state, what city is showing the film, and please go out and just have a great time. It's a family film. I do recommend, hey, children are fine. Children are okay for this film, and you're going to leave just feeling better. You're just going to leave feeling refreshed. I guarantee you that. I hope that people truly find within the film exactly what they're looking for as far as the kind of love that they want in their lives. And I know for a fact that's exactly what will happen.
Well, and I just want to say, too, as a caveat, you know, I've never done a movie release show before, and this is not something, I'm not being paid for it. The commercials are airing just to air them, because I really believe in what this movie has to say. And you can also find out about Old Fashioned on Twitter at OMovie. And they're also on Facebook at Old Fashioned Movie on Facebook. And while you're on Facebook, just hop on over to Don't Give Up Radio and click like so that you know what's coming down the pike, because we're going to continue on relationships next week, and we're going to shift back over to women and take a look at women's voices and what it really means to wait on the Lord for the right person. And then we're going to culminate the month with something very interesting. So stay tuned and keep listening. But again, to what I shared earlier, is that the bottom line is we need to worship God. And when we do that, he will be blessed. So thank you for sharing with us, LaShawn.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Jackie. Old Fashioned, thanks you. And just, hey, have a great, great Valentine's Day weekend. Thank you so much.
I will, because of this movie. Otherwise, I would have been, I'm a Valentine's Scrooge otherwise. This is perfectly great for me. And the song I'm going to play, especially for you, this is a Lincoln Brewster instrumental. It's very strong, called Here I Am to Worship, and I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.